I'm going to be in 1 Corinthians, so you can turn in your Bibles or turn your Bibles on. It'll be on the screen. Chapter 9 is where I will be at. And really, this is a message that has kind of been on my heart all summer. I've been several different places, and really this has kind of been the theme of it. And as Nick had put in the bulletin, you know, that idea of, you know, all things to all people, but almost you could also say, you know, what are you willing to give up to reach all people? It's kind of the point of this too, and that kind of what Paul is saying here. And really, you know, we live in a culture today, we live in a community and in a society that says it's all about me. You know, it's my choice, it's what I want. Nobody else can tell me how to live my life because it's about me. You know, the Sunday school lesson, you know, I don't plan for it to ever happen this way, but it seems like more times than not it does. You know, it kind of goes along with that same idea. You know, the people of Babylon, the descendants of Noah at that time were looking for a way to promote themselves. You know, they wanted to build this tower to show how great they were. You know, how all the things that they could do. It wasn't about worshiping God. It wasn't about doing what He had planned for them. You know, as we look and as Jesus died on the cross and as he you know, came back and as He left this earth again, you know, what did He tell the disciples? Go and make disciples of all nations. And sometimes we have, you know, we get confused about that because we don't know how to do that. We don't understand that. We get maybe caught up in the details. But here in these verses in chapter 9, I think Paul kind of gives us an idea of what we're supposed to do and what we're supposed to be as believers. So I'm going to read, and I'm going to, like I said, chapter 9, I'm going to start in verse 19, is where I'm going to start, and I'm going to read through the end of the chapter. So it says, "For although I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all, in order to win more people. To the Jews I become like a Jew, to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law. To win those under the law. To those who are outside the law, like one outside the law, but not being outside of God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those outside the law. To the weak I become weak, in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may, by all means, save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel, that I may become a partner in its benefits. Do you not know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything, however they do it, to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. Therefore, I do not run like the one who runs aimlessly or box like the one who beats the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified." Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank You for today. We thank You for the opportunity to gather as a family and to worship You. Lord, we've sung to You. We've studied Your words this morning already. And Lord, as we dig a little deeper into these words that Paul wrote, that you gave to him to write, Lord, help us understand what we need to be all things to all people. Lord, what are some things that roadblocks that we're putting up that people won't listen to us? Lord, sometimes we think it's us that we don't have enough knowledge or that we can't speak right. But Lord, we just pray that You show us that there's more to it. Lord, that it's not about us. It's not about what we want. It's not about our comfort. It's about You. It's about the gospel. Lord, help us understand that. Help us show that. And Lord, as we leave here, that we would live that out every day, that it's not about us, it's about the gospel. And Lord, we thank You for Your Son Jesus, because Lord, ultimately He made that ultimate sacrifice for each and every one of us, because He loved us that much that He gave up His life, that we might have that opportunity to live with You and to serve You. And Lord, we just pray all these things in His name. Amen. So as we open up and we see these verses in verse 19, Paul says, "For although I am free from all people, I have made myself a slave to all in order to win more people." Paul was probably the freest of anybody. And in his time, they understood slavery. You know, we think of slavery in this country as a bad thing, and it is a bad thing. It's a negative thing, and it was a terrible thing. But it was part of their society. You know, people, you know, would give up their freedoms to be slaves. People were bought as slaves if they couldn't to pay that debt, whatever it might be. But Paul says here, I'm making myself a slave. I'm willingly making myself a slave to win people to Christ. You know, Paul was a Jewish man. You know, he had all the education that was possible. He also had, you know, a Roman parent, so he could basically do what he wanted to. But he was willing to give that up because he knew there was something more important at stake here, the gospel. He said, you know, that I'm free, but I've made myself a slave. So there was people at that time that would, you know, willingly submit themselves to slavery. You know, they'd had an opportunity to maybe buy themselves out of slavery. They were put into that situation, and even in earlier verses, earlier chapters, Paul talks about that. If you have that chance to leave slavery, you know, leave it. But Paul here was saying, you know, no, I'm going to submit to my Lord and Master, Jesus, because he did that to his Father. And so it would be this idea of, okay, here's this guy, he has his chance to be free, but he is not going to submit because of any other burden other than he wants to be loyal to this good master that he has. So they would, you know, take this slave, they would take him to the door, they would, you know, take an awl and put a ring in his ear, and it would be that symbol that he was a slave and that he would do his master's will no matter what. And that's what Paul was saying here. I'm going to do my master's will no matter what it takes. I'm going to promote my master. I'm going to do what he's put me here to do. And we should be the same way as believers. Christ has put us here for a reason. You know, we don't come here on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night or whenever we have that opportunity to come and be with our church family just to be here and sit and just to consume. He's produced us. He's made us to work and to produce something other than just filling a spot. We need to make ourselves slaves to Him and Him alone and what He has for us. He says in verse 20, to the Jews I became like a Jew, to win the Jews, to those under the law like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. It was all about winning other people. Paul knew that he was free because he had he'd met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He wasn't under Jewish law anymore. He didn't have to follow the regulations. He could have, you know, waved to the Jews and said, see you later, suckers. I don't have to do any of this stuff anymore. And walked away. He knew he was called to the Gentiles to preach and teach to them. But what was his first stop anytime he came to a city or a town? It was to the synagogue. His heart was still with the Jews. He still wanted his Jewish brothers and sisters to realize they were missing the point. They understood the law. They understood, you know, that God was the creator, but they were missing Jesus. And he knew this. So he wasn't going to do anything that offended him or offended the Jews. He wasn't going to do anything that would not allow him the opportunity to go and minister to those people inside of the temple. So he still, you know, would hold on to, not hold on to, but he would still, you know, do some of those Jewish traditions. Not that it saved him, not that it made him a super Christian by any means, but just so that he had that opportunity to talk to those people, to those Jewish non-believers that he was around. He was willing to give up that little bit of right so that he could spread the gospel to them. Verse 21, to those who are outside the law. So we're talking about Gentiles, those who didn't understand, the laws the Jewish people followed and tried to uphold. To those outside the law, like one outside the law. So, you know, he would go to the Gentiles, or you go to the Jews, he would follow those regulations, he would follow those rules, he would wash his hands, he'd his bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich in front of them. He wasn't going to offend them. But, you know, thank you, Tammy, for laughing. It's all right, you can laugh. She was the only one that got it. But when he was around his Gentile friends, he wasn't going to hold on to those things because that would kind of shut them off too. He wasn't changing his position. He wasn't, you know, a lot of times church people get that, well, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. He wasn't being a hypocrite. He still had that one purpose, and that was to share the gospel and to win others to the gospel. But he was just changing how he was doing it. He was just changing his approach. But he says to win those outside the law, like one outside the law, but not being outside God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those outside the law. So he would do whatever it took to talk to a Gentile, up to the point of, I'm not going to commit a sin to do it. God's not called me to commit sins just so I can spread the gospel, but I'm going to do everything else in my power to do that. It was all about winning those people. It was all about bringing those people to Christ and to winning them. It didn't matter where they came from or what they did. He wanted to share the gospel. He was just changing his approach. And in the example I kind of thought of as I studied and thought about this, you know, I like to watch football. You know, this is my favorite time of the year just because football's on. And once football's over, there's really nothing else to watch. But, you know, a football team prepares every week. You know, they prepare and they study the other team and they know what that other team's going to do. They know the kind of plays they run. And you know, they go into that prepared and ready to fight and win. You know, that's their whole goal. They're going to win. They want to win the game. And then when that game's over, what do? They start for the next week. So they might have to change their defense or their offense, you know, so they can win that next game. Us as Christians, we should be the same way. You know, we're around a whole lot of different kind of people in our daily lives. Throughout the week or the month or whatever, but we should change our approach. We shouldn't just have one approach and that's the only approach we use to try to reach people. You know, maybe it's somebody that likes to talk about cars. Maybe you don't know a lot about cars, but you can listen and you can kind of maybe learn from them and try to engage them in that way, just that opportunity that you can be around them to share the gospel. Maybe it's somebody that likes to bake. I can bake a little bit, but I like to eat. So I want to be around that person so I can eat, but also that I can share the gospel. You know, I'm not changing my purpose for being around that person. You know, it's about sharing the gospel, but I'm going to try to do that in different ways. And here's kind of sometimes where we struggle. Maybe we're called to a different country. Maybe we're called to a different ethnic group that's in our community. You know, we talked about that in Sunday school or family groups this morning that, you know, God scattered these people because they all had the same language. And they could all sin, you know, the sin could spread faster because they had the same language. Okay, now he scattered people and we have these different languages. Now we have to find ways to engage these different languages and engage these different people that are in our lives. We have to find those ways. Do I understand their culture? Do I understand the way they live? No, but why would I want to not try to understand that? Why would I just want to say, well, somebody else will worry about that? If God has put them in my life for a purpose, if they live next to me, or if I work with them, or you know, or if I just encounter them in a grocery store somewhere, why would I not want to try to learn more about them? Too many times in our world today, we don't worry or we don't care if we offend somebody. You know, we live in a culture that says, it's about me, and if you don't like it, you can go somewhere else. As Christians, that's not what our attitude should be. It's not about me. It's about Christ. And I want to know more about you so that I can share about Christ. And that's what our goal as a church should always be, is you know, that we're winning more people to Christ so that we can get them here so that we can teach them more about Christ. So then there's more of us to go out and win more people to Christ. It's a cycle. It never ends, and it never will end. And Paul here is saying this. It's all about being all things to all people. What am I willing to do? How uncomfortable am I willing to be to win more people to Christ? If I'm not willing to be uncomfortable, then am I really worried about winning people to Christ? He said in verse 22, "To the weak I became weak. In order to win the weak, I have become all things to all people, so that I may by all means save some." I'm not going to save them all, but I'm going to try to save some by my actions, by my decisions, by what I choose to be. And he talks about the weak here. And this could be people that, you know, maybe these are new believers. And we're not trying to save them, but we don't want to make them stumble. You know, sometimes as mature believers, as people that have walked with Christ for a while, we understand there are certain things that we can do. There are certain things that the Bible, you know, there's some areas in the Bible that it doesn't condemn, but maybe there's that we put some of those man-made rules in there that we condemn them. And maybe as mature believers, we say, okay, it's okay to do this, but as a new believer, maybe their conscience holds them back. And if we're doing those things and we're making them stumble, then we're causing them to sin. And we have to realize we don't want that either, because we want them to mature and grow and help them grow and teach them. So maybe there's sometimes that I just need to say, hey, you know, that's okay. I don't need to do this. You know, if this makes you, you know, nervous, or this hurts your conscience, then I'm okay with that. You know, why should I worry about somebody else's conscience? Because it's about them. It's not about me. You know, Paul went as far in chapter 8, right there into chapter 8. He says, therefore, if food causes my brother to fall, I will never eat meat again. You know, that would be a tough decision. But Paul said, you know, it was about, you know, eating meat that had been sacrificed to idols. And there again, he was teaching and preaching to people that they'd come from that lifestyle, and it bothered them because they knew that this meat had been sacrificed to idols, and that bothered them. And Paul said, okay, that's fine. Now I'm right there with you. I'm not going to eat meat. Until we can get you to the point where you can understand that it's okay, it's fine. So it's about other people. And Paul was even, in earlier in chapter 9, you know, he was willing to give up that right to be paid for his services as a pastor, as an apostle. You know, they were making that argument that, well, was Paul really an apostle? You know, he doesn't come and do like the other apostles do. He doesn't ask for payment. He doesn't bring his friends along and expect us to take care of him when he's here. But Paul says, you know, I'm giving up that right because of you. Yes, you should be doing all these things. Yes, you should be taking care of your preacher and your pastors. You should be taking care of the apostles when they come. But I choose not to accept any of this because of you. I don't want to hinder you from learning the gospel. Paul knew that there was people in the church in those days that didn't have money. And there were people that would sell, you know, that self-help stuff that we see today. You know, if you can learn how to be, you know, a great person for $9.99, we'll send you this video series and the self-help. There's people like that. And Paul didn't want the gospel to be that way. Paul wanted the gospel to be free to everybody, no matter what. So he was willing to say, no, I'm not going to take payment, so that everybody has the opportunity to get it, that everybody has the opportunity to hear it, that everybody has an opportunity to make a decision about it. He wanted to win those who were there. But in verse 24 and to the end, you know, it talks about athletes and you know, the self-control part. This is hard. And I understand this. There, you know, there's areas in my life, too, that I understand, you know, we're like, I don't know if I can do this. There are people that maybe I don't want to deal with. You know, I think about my teaching and really this kind of, you know, I thought about it hard, especially with the beginning of the year, and any of you that's taught, you know, at all. You know, I see 100 different kids every day. Same kids, but, you know, 100 different ones. And they're all different. And they all need something different. You know, they all need me to be, you know, maybe one of them needs me to be this, and another one needs me to be something different, but they all need me to be me. I'm not going to totally be different, but I'm going to engage them in different ways so that they'll listen to me. Same way with the gospel. We have the greatest news in the world. God sent His Son. God loved us enough to send His Son. Jesus loved His Father enough to step down off the throne and to die on a cross for us. We have the greatest news in the world. Why wouldn't we want to share it? Why would we want to put up roadblocks with our opinions, with the way we live our lives? with just not caring about people in general. Why would we want to do that? Why would we want to put up those roadblocks? Like Paul says here, so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. I don't want to do things that disqualify me from preaching the word. Have I done things? Yeah. I run my mouth. You can ask my wife. She'll tell you. Have I made people mad by some of the things I've said, and maybe I've pushed them away from me where I haven't had those opportunities to share the gospel because of what I've said? Yeah, I have. And if that doesn't hurt you on the inside, then something's wrong. You know, there's probably very few things that I wouldn't want to hear in my life, but you know, for somebody to say that you're the reason that I don't go to church, or you're the reason I didn't accept Christ, that would hurt. Now, is that a reason will God take that as an excuse for that person? No. But that means that I wasn't doing my job, that I wasn't following what God has taught us, or me, in His Word. Don't be that person. Don't make it about yourself. Don't make it about your rights. Don't make it about your feelings. It's about what God wants. It's about what He has for us. So as we kind of come to a close, think about that. You know, are you here today and do you know God? Have you ever made that profession of faith? Do you realize how much He loves you? Do you realize that He loves you so much that He was willing to give His Son up? To watch His Son suffer so that your sins would be paid. You realize that? If you don't, and you haven't been told that, and you feel that tugging at your heart, maybe today's the day that you make that decision. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you just need somebody to pray for you. Maybe you're just going through some things that you just don't understand, but you know that God will help. Maybe today's the day. Believers that are in the room, what are you willing to give up? How uncomfortable are you willing to be? What are some things that maybe you've said or done in your life that have turned people off to you and them listening to you? And now you don't have that opportunity to share the gospel with them. How can I change? You know, we have an opportunity this afternoon and pray to God that there will be, you know, a multitude of new people here and people that will have that opportunity to share the gospel like Nick talked about at the beginning of the service. Are we willing? Are we ready? Does it matter who they are or what they've done in their past? All that matters is they need the gospel. Where are we at today? I'm going to close in prayer, and then the praise team will come and we'll have a time of invitation, and I'll be up here in front and more than happy to pray with you. Nick's here as well, and there's deacons that will pray with you. But don't let it pass. Don't let this opportunity pass today that you have this chance to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for today, and we thank You for who You are. Lord, we thank You that, you know, that all those many thousands of years ago that You knew that we were going to need a Savior, that we are a wretched people, a stiff-necked people, that we're going to turn away from You, like we've talked about in family groups the last several weeks, and Lord, that we needed a Savior, that each and every one of us have sins in our life, that none of us are different. But Lord, that You sent Your Son to pay for those sins, that we have to repent of those sins. We have to ask for forgiveness of those sins, and Lord, His blood covers it. And we thank You for that. And Lord, it's not that we're going to, that we had to do anything for it, Lord, other than ask You and reach out to You. But Lord, once we've done that, Lord, that we follow You, go after You, Lord, that we study Your words and that we reach out to You and that we try to be that believer that You want us to be. And Lord, that we go and tell others about what You've done for us. You've commanded us to do that. And Lord, part of that is living our life in a way that people want to listen to us, engaging people, going to people, in a way that people want to listen to us and want to hear the good news that we have to tell them. That they're not going to shut us off because of we make it all about ourselves. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your Son. We thank you for his willingness that he loved you enough to die on that cross for us. And Lord, we just pray all these things in his name. Amen.